In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Good afternoon, dear family. I would love to say Merry Christmas, but we are not Macy's, we are the church, and we are in this time of expectation. What wonderful people are Joseph and Mary. Every time I read the stories about Christmas, I am moved when I think of this young couple. Mary, maybe 12, 13 years old, and Joseph, maybe the same, 15 years old, trying to understand God's plan for their lives. In our society, well, it's, a marriage at 13 is not possible, but more than 2,000 years ago in the Holy Land, in times when people did not live very long, well, people married very young. They were really, really, really young. We sometimes imagine Mary as the mother of God, which she is, and so on in heaven, she is, with a beautiful crown, yes, sometimes almost unreachable. Or sometimes we imagine Joseph as a wise old man who protected Mary. But what the evangelists present to us in this passage is just two young people trapped among the dynamics of their society and trying to listen in the midst of everything the voice of the Holy Spirit. They did not know everything. Mary and Joseph were, like us, pilgrims of life, pilgrims of faith, receiving the gift of God made man in the womb of Mary, but without having previously received a manual of how to be parents of the Son of God. It's not a difficult job. If we believe that God chose Mary and Joseph for this plan of salvation, we can say that God prepared them from before with special graces to respond to this call. Yes. From Mary, we know that she was a virtuous woman, attentive to the voice of God, obedient, brave, prudent, and a true believer, the first believer. She has been so admired through history that people throughout the centuries have recognized the wonders that God has done in Mary. For example, now that we have a Lutheran minister here with us, well, Martin Luther said about Mary, "Mary is the highest woman and the noblest gem in Christianity after Christ. She is nobility, wisdom, and holiness personified. We can never honor her enough." Even Luther recognized that she had been born without sin by virtue of the fact that she will be the mother of Jesus. He said, "God has formed the soul and body of the Virgin Mary full of the Holy Spirit, so that she is without all sins, for she has conceived and born the Lord Jesus." And this is just one example. On the other hand, we have a silent person. The Word of God tells us today that Joseph was a righteous man. It is a man who lived the law of God in his life. And this young man, and think again, 15 years old, this young man surely came from work one day and Mary told him, "Joe, we have to talk." Yeah, we all know the level of terror that sometimes arises in our hearts when our partner tell us, we have to talk. It's serious. Something is not right. Well, problems are coming. Our party has been ruined.
Nos cargó el payaso, we say in Mexico. It is a problem.
I can imagine Joseph trying to fit all the pieces in his head after Mary dropped the bombshell that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Mary, this virtuous girl with whom Joseph had fallen in love, could not lie. But he had no suspicions. He knew she was pregnant. She told him so. Joseph did not have to prove his wife's infidelity. He did not have to prove that she was expecting someone else's child. He had other problems. He had to prove that this son was from God. But how to know it? They had no DNA test, and in any case, who knows God's DNA? Wasn't it better that God had invited Mary and Joseph to a Starbucks to chat, and that he asked the two if they wanted to join the project of bringing his son into the world instead of asking only Mary? Why was God ruining Joseph's plans to start a family and have children with Mary? How could God expose Mary to such situation and a lot of us? And okay, on the other hand, if he accepted Mary's pregnancy for the rest of the people, for the neighbors, they will be seen as two people who have not been able to wait a year to make things right according to the traditions of the time. Mm-hmm. But beyond all appearances, how could Joseph consider himself righteous if he said that he was the father of Jesus when he knew he was not? Joseph knew very well what we had to do according to the law. And I'm so glad that we don't have children today, because this is really awful. We know what happened to women who were caught in adultery. They were generally stoned to death. But, well, it's a horrible death, but it is just the last part of the process. In Numbers chapter 5, verses 11 to 31, appears the process that a woman suspected of adultery must undergo, or of whom her husband was jealous. Oh, I'm only jealous? Okay, you will have to leave this. The process basically consisted of giving the woman a potion to drink that will kill the baby if the woman was pregnant. That was the first part of the process. According to the law, the power of God would prove the guilt of the woman by swelling her womb and killing the baby. Can we imagine a more wrong and terrible concept of God? In other words, with his decision, Joseph could decide that a Levite priest would end the life of Jesus in the womb of Mary. And later, perhaps Mary would be stoned, or she will be returned to her parents' house to live until the last day of her life, someone without honor. And sometimes we think that our Christmas are complicated, are tedious. This is a tough Christmas, apparently. That was the human plan. The plans of men, the plans that they follow fairly without mercy to the end. Those are the plans that go over people's lives.
Those are the plans that
do not consider those who are weaker
and defenseless.
Those were the human plans, which turned the woman and the baby into victims of the system, paying with their lives for compliance with a law considered divine.
Always, always the defenseless suffering.
Joseph was righteous, and that's why he knew that compliance with the law was not the only important thing, that God wants mercy and no sacrifices. But he could not decide. It was not easy. His decision to end the life of the Son of God and the life of the Virgin Mother of the Lord, his beloved Mary. That is why this passage tells us that how Joseph heard in a dream the voice of an angel. The voice of the Spirit of God. That's the meaning when we listen. Oh, an angel, this voice of the Spirit of God, who told him, "Do not be afraid. Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, because what is begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid." It's an expression that maybe you know that appears in the Bible 365 times. As if God wanted to tell us every day not to fear, to trust in his word. That this life and death are only illusions, and that nothing can separate us from God's love. Fear, distrust, are the biggest pin that bursts the balloon of miracles. Yeah, this beautiful miracle, and then it is fear, distrust. Where there is fear, there is no place for love, which is what changes lives. That is why God tells Joseph, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. God tells us now that we are living in this difficult time, do not be afraid. And in addition, to conclude, God reminds Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife. In other words, God reminds him, no, don't want to make yourself look foolish. No, I'm talking to you. She's your wife. You swore to take care of her, protect her, give your life to her. No, Joe. In trouble, you can't abandon the one you swore to love without at least trying. Joe, she is your wife. Honor her as such. Perhaps today, God can remind us, do not be afraid to continue with your wife in this time when she is sick. She is your wife. What with your husband? He is your husband. Do not be afraid to forgive your brother or your sister. They are your siblings. Do not be afraid to assume this new position in the church to help your spiritual family. They are your family. Or do not be afraid to call your aunt you haven't spoken to in years since 1989. She is your aunt. It's blood of your blood. Do not be afraid to love Mary as your mother, because she really is. God reminds us of the importance of each person in our life. God honors our relationships, because loving another person
is looking straight into the face of God. Joseph and Mary heard the voice of God. Are we going to hear the voice of God today? When this mass is over, who will you call? And yes, please, don't say, what a beautiful sermon. No. Tell me, who are you going to call? Who will you bring into your life again? Who will you give a second chance to in this time of grace of Christmas? Who will you cheer up today with the sound of your beautiful voice? En el nombre del Padre, y del Hijo, y del Espíritu Santo. Amén.